Well,
I see.
Palmer, I knew very well. Yes, there was a sprinkling.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say that it was more than a sprinkling.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a sprinkling, rather more than a sprinkling. Now, a sprinkling of men who had served in British regiments previously.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the reservists had practically all gone back.
Mm-hmm.
And it would only be the older men who were still not on the reserve and who joined up.
Well, how would what would your uniform be like at this time for the trooper?
Well, we had boots, puttees, and riding breeches.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the uniform, which was the same throughout the war, practically.
Sort of the
except that we had buttons down the front.
And tight collar.
Tight collar. Now, where were the officers? We didn't have steel helmets at that time. I don't see these very clearly here, do I? I think I can dig up a photograph somewhere. Unfortunately.
Oh, there's one.
The collar was fastened up. Only the officers had the open collar
mm-hmm.
and the tie. But this is
the bandolier, the leather bandolier across the.
We had the leather bandolier when we were mounted.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we gave up the bandolier when we had the web pack.
When did you get that? Do you remember? Would that be overseas?
About 2 days before we left to go to overseas to France.
Oh, that's right.
We issued of it
mm-hmm.
in England.
Well, now, you went from Camp Sewell, that's S-E-W-E-L-L.
Well, it was called Camp Hughes then.
Oh, I see. I
Camp
see.
Hughes is...
But they're one and the same...
Well, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Sewell replaced Camp Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little further south. It was on the CNR. It was on the CNR line, whereas Camp Hughes was on the CPR line.
Mm-hmm. And you went from there to Montreal, I gather.
We went from there to Montreal. We stopped at one place. I think it was Cartier. And had a route, an hour's route march
mm-hmm.
through there to stretch our legs. And then we got to Montreal. Then we embarked on the Megantic
mm-hmm.
on the night of the 11th and 12th.
And then you went from Montreal down to Quebec, where you started out before, or at least this is where this is where you came to Canada originally. It's sort of a quite a round trip.
Yes, but I think we got into Halifax somehow or another. I'm not sure. We were inspected by the Governor General, Duke Connaught,
mm-hmm.
Off Quebec. I remember that. He came on board. We were joined, if you recall. I gave you that...
The flyer? The
you got one of those copies.
Yeah, that's right.
That's useful for you to have. You've got one of these.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that gives the names to the
mm-hmm.
officers. And remember, I mentioned about Dick. Well, I don't think you took the...
I have the original.
You have the original.
Yes, I have the original.
But you're going to let me have
absolutely,
back.
Yeah.
I'm going to send that to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows that the names of a midshipman who joined us from the Carnarvon, wasn't it? Which had been sunk, taking part in the Battle of Coronel.
Oh, I see.
And these midshipmen were being transferred from the Falkland Islands to come up here, and were being taken back. And that was the extraordinary coincidence, you see, where Admiral Dick, who stayed here this summer, overnight, he was one of the midshipmen.
I see.
And he was there on the Atlantic.
This gives
you the names of the...
Well, the headquarters.
The headquarters. And of the officers of the three CMR regiments making up the brigade.
What about the trip overseas on board the Megantic itself?
I think you would say it was uneventful. We did a certain amount of PT. We were packed in pretty tight, and it wasn't very comfortable, but who cared? We were going overseas at last.
Uh-huh.
And there was a possibility of a submarine.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly when we got nearer the coast of the United Kingdom, we saw an occasional iceberg. We were met by a destroyer escort, which fascinated everybody. And it was sort of the first glimpse of the war that we really had. And we were kept a lookout, armed with rifles, in case any submarine came. There was a detail. About 100 men maintained all the time. I think that's mentioned in here.
What about seasickness going over? Were you...
I don't recall it. I was lucky.
You're a better sailor than I am.
Well, I'm not a particularly good sailor, but I don't recall being seasick. I don't think we were. The usual boat drills, and that. Machine guns were mounted on the upper deck, and 200 riflemen were posted on armed with rifles, with live ammunition, and really war then.
Oh, were you detailed for that?
Everybody. I mean, so they took them in relays.
Uh-huh.
I remember quite clearly being on the lookout and keeping an anxious eye, being conscientious.
Where did you land, by the way, once you got to England?
Oh, I thought it was at Plymouth. But there was something in here that struck me. It says at Devonport, outside Devonport Harbour. It may have been Devonport.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had I remember very clearly the train journey up there. And there was also, we were well received. There were people along the way, and any troop train was moving in those days.
How did you feel coming back to England after being away for...
As far as I can remember, the feeling almost, this is my home, my native land. I'm thrilled at the opportunity of coming fighting for England.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was putting it as concisely as one can, the sort of feeling I felt. This really was. England was my native land, my home, my boyhood, being in the south of England, and I'd come back to fight for the crown and for England. I can't say that I ever thought at that time very much about fighting for Canada or fighting for democracy. We were fighting for England. Mm-hmm. This is my reaction.
Well, this seems to be more than yours. What I've read about it, it was sort of a call to arms to the mother country.
Yes.
And there seemed to be a great response.
There was a terrific response. The enthusiasm was so great there.
Mm-hmm. I remember my father saying that there was a great many who were so anxious to get over before the war ended, especially in the beginning.
Were anxious?
The fear that the war would be over.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, that was the fear we had all the time here and in England. Particularly when we were here, we felt, well, my goodness me, if we don't get over soon, this war will end. Because, mind you, it had been the general consensus of opinion, I think, that the war would be over by Christmas.
Yeah.
And the enthusiasm, the patriotism, I don't think has ever been seen again,
mm-hmm.
or ever will be, I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Any. There is, The Guns of August. You've read that mm-hmm. book. Then there's a very good book which describes, I think it's that, I'm not sure if it's The Guns of August, the enlistment, the Verdun. Have you seen that account?
I have the book at home, but I haven't read it yet.
Well, I think that gives, in the early chapters,
mm-hmm.
That I may be mixing it up with The Guns of August.
Mm-hmm.
I've read them both, and I forget which.
Mm-hmm. Am I right in assuming that by the time you got to England, that would be the summer of 1915, that the concept of trench warfare, that is to say, what trench war was really like, hadn't yet penetrated, shall we say, the 2nd and 3rd Division people coming over?
No, I don't think that we're trench warfare. We visualized what trench warfare was like. Mind you, we'd had some instruction in Canada on making revetments,
mm-hmm.
and we'd had one or two lectures. I think Mickey McGuire, if I'm right, was one of our officers anyway, was sent down to some engineering school and came back and was telling us about the bays and traverses. If there was any digging done, it was done in a most half-hearted way, but then after all, we were going to be cavalry.
Yeah.
And even in England, why, we had horses at times, but I don't think that the thought of digging trenches had sunk into the troops.
Mm-hmm.
We did have various types of entrenching tools. One was a Canadian-made entrenching tool.
The famous
cumbersome thing, you see.
The one by that Sam Hughes beamed up?
Yes, yes. And we had some exercises we had round Caesar's camp where we went to, just outside of Folkestone. We had done a little bit of digging,
mm-hmm.
but there was no serious thought here. We've got to build up our muscles to be able to dig and dig quickly.
That was yet to come.
That was yet to come.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll end the interview here with you arriving in England. This is a good point to chop it. And then we'll go perhaps in the next interview from your training in England and then the move to France and perhaps getting the first battles. How would that be?
Yes.
Good.